Daf Dalid Amid Beis, and we're discussing the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the basis and the source for the halacha of Prishas Kohen Gadol Shivas Yomim Kodem Yom HaKippurim. According to Reish Lakish, the source for the requirement of a Kohen Gadol before he goes to do the Avodah and he's going to enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, he has to separate himself for 7 days. That is based on Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And we'll see the Pesukim again inside. And the assumption of Reish Lakish is that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he could enter into the Kodesh, the Mishkan, where the Shechina was, that's called Har Sinai at that time, he had to be Poresh, and so too the Kohen Gadol, says Reish Lakish, has to be Poresh for 7 days before he goes in to do the Avodah on Yom HaKippur. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, disagrees. There's no source from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and we'll soon see why. But rather, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the basis for the chiyuv of the Kohen Gadol to be Poresh is the parasha Miluim. And just like Aaron and his children were separated for a full week preparing for the day of Hakamas HaMishkan to start the Avodah, so too a Kohen Gadol has to separate himself and prepare for a week before Yom HaKippur. The Gemara now quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva. Now, in order to appreciate that machlokes, let's read the Pesukim again. And this is at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, in Shmos Chaf Dalet. The Torah says, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai. So we know that the glory of God rested on Har Sinai. Vayichaseihu ha'onan. There's a pronoun here, Vayichaseihu. The Anan was covering something. And how long was this period of time that the Anan was covering? Sheshes Yamim. For 6 days. And then, Vayikra el Moshe b'yom ha'shvi mitoch ha'anan. And the voice of God cried out to Moshe on the 7th day. When did this happen? And what exactly happened? And here we have a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Akiva understood that this whole maisa, this whole story of Vayichaseihu Ha'anan took place before Matan Torah. And if it was before Matan Torah, then it's impossible to interpret that Vayichaseihu is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. As if to say Moshe Rabbeinu was surrounded by a cloud for 6 days before Matan Torah, that's impossible. Because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu during these 6 days went up the mountain, up and down, each day for a different purpose. And therefore it's impossible that for 6 days before Matan Torah, he was covered by the Anan. Therefore Rabbi Akiva assumes that V'chaseihu goes back to the Reisha of this Pasuk, which says, Al Har Sinai. The Kvod Hashem rested on Har Sinai, and Vayichaseihu, God covered the Har, the mountain itself, with the Anan for 6 days. Then, on the 7th day, Vayikra El Moshe Bayom HaShvi Mitoch Anan, the voice was heard on the 7th day, and that was the day in which the Torah was given, meaning the Aseres HaDibros were given. Afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the balance of the Torah. According to Rabbi Akiva, clearly, this could not possibly serve as the source for the Chiyuv Prisha, the Kohen Gadol, 7 days before Yom HaKippurim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not Poresh. Moshe Rabbeinu during these days was not covered by the Anan and separated from the people. He was busy, as we said before, going up and down the mountain. So the Torah here is just describing the days that lead up to Matan Torah. And after 6 days in which the har was covered by the anan, by the cloud, on the seventh day the voice was heard, and the people were called and summoned to receive the Aseres HaDibros. In fact, if you recall, Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that the voice of Hashem calling out to Yom HaShvi was not just for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was for all of Klal Yisrael. The entire community of Israel had to go out on the seventh day in order to receive the Torah, to receive the Aseres HaDibros. The only reason why the Pasuk mentions Moshe Rabbeinu here is Lachlo Kavod LeMoshe. Instead of giving a general term that would describe the entire people, Moshe amongst them, because Moshe also had to go out and hear the Aseres HaDibros, the Pasuk singles out Moshe Rabbeinu. That gives Moshe Rabbeinu a status of Kavod. Ad Kan Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says no. This entire parasha of Vayichaseu Ha'anan Sheshes Yamim takes place after Matan Torah. And it means that following Aseres HaDibros, on that day, Moshe Rabbeinu was called to be Poresh, to separate himself for a 6 day period before he goes up to Har Sinai. This was a 6 day preparation for Moshe Rabbeinu to go up to Har Sinai. Har Sinai is the Mishkan Ashchina, and the Anan covers not the Har, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but rather surrounds Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, after Matan Torah, as it were, was separated from the rest of the people, and he had a 6 day preparation period before he would go up to Har Sinai in the Makom of Shechina, and he would receive the balance of the Torah beyond the Aseres HaDibros. Reish Lakish stands on the shoulders of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. If, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this entire story of Yechaseu Ha'anon Sheshes Yomim takes place after Matan Torah, and it is the Anan that covers Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's going to prepare him for entering in to the Kodesh of Har Sinai, where the Shechina resides, then the Kohen Gadol likewise has to separate himself and prepare himself before he enters into the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom HaKippur. So just to summarize, when exactly did this entire episode take place? Of Vayichaseu Ha'anan Sheshes Yomim, followed by the voice of Hashem. That's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. According to Rabbi Akiva, this entire episode took place before Matan Torah. The Anan covered the Har, and after 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to everyone, the entire assembly of Israel, including Moshe, to go out and receive the Torah, meaning the Aseres HaDibros. Immediately following, Moshe Rabbeinu, without any preparation, without any pre-show, climbs up to Har Sinai for 40 days to receive the Torah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, this entire episode took place after Matan Torah. And for 6 days after Matan Torah, the Anan covered Moshe Rabbeinu, surrounded him, and that was pre-show. And that would culminate on the seventh day with the voice of Hashem crying out to Moshe Rabbeinu that now it's time to climb the mountain. You've prepared yourself with the preach of the Anan of 6 days, and now go up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and receive, in the Mishkan Ashchina, receive the Torah. So that's pretty much what we know. And the Gemara now asks, but my komifli. So let's look into Masech Yoma, and let's turn to Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and we're going to start where we left off, b'may komifligi. And we're going to count down from the top of the Amud, approximately, I would say, let's give it an estimation, maybe we could call it 10 lines. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. At the end of the 10th line, if you move towards the end, the left side, you'll see the word B'mai. The first word in the line is Omar. B'mai ka miflegi. Rabbi Yossi aglili for Rabbi Akiva. What is their machlokes? Rashi explains, B'mai ka miflegi ma raya mevim l'divrehem. In other words, each one, whether it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili or Rabbi Akiva, must have had some sort of proof that led them, respectively, to their conclusion. The Gemara says, "Bepluta dahani tanoi." Now, if I were to ask you in the middle of the night, what month was the Torah given in, Aseres HaDibros, you would say Sivan, and that's absolutely correct. No one doubts that. But if I would then ask you what day of the month of Sivan, most of us would say on the 6th of Sivan, because that's the day in which we commemorate Matan Torah on Chag HaShavuos. But in truth, this entire sugya in Masechet Shabbos, on Daf Pei Vav, as to what calendar date in Sivan the Torah was given, the Matan Torah of Aseres HaDibros. One opinion is that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, and another opinion is that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. And that machlokes is codified here in the Braisa that we're about to learn. Desanya, according to the Tanakhama, the anonymous first opinion here in this Braisa, B'shisha b'chodesh nitna Torah, Li Yisrael, the Aseres HaDibros were given on the 6th of Sivan. And the Braisa now quotes the dissenting view of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi omer b'shiva bo, on the 7th day of Sivan, the Torah was given. And as I indicated before, that's an entire sugya in Masechta Shabbos. A lot of the sugya has to do with how to calculate from the time of Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim until Matan Torah, and whether the months between Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, were they Mole, was it Chaser? And the Gemara comes to two shitos, two possible opinions. One is the Tanakhama here, the anonymous Tana in Al-Braisa that says, B'shishi, on the 6th day of Sivan, the Torah was given. And then we have Rabbi Yossi, not to be confused with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, this is Rabbi Yossi, who's of the opinion that the Torah was actually given on the 7th day of Sivan. Now the Gemara is going to take our machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva as to whether or not the 6 days in which the mountain or Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the cloud, and the Gemara is going to match it up with this machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi as to what day in Sivan was the day of Aseres HaDibros. And now the Gemara is looking at this Braisa and dividing this Braisa between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara starts with the Tanakhama. Mandi Omar Bishisha. According to the Tanakhama, this Braisa that the Torah was given on the 6th day of Sivan. Bishisha Nitna Ubishiva Ola. Now, I'm going to interpret this Gemara based on the Bach. You know that on the side of the Gemara we have what's called Hagos HaBach. And for one thing, the Bach takes out the next line, which you'll see in parentheses, Dichsiv, that whole line. But more than that, the Bach says that what the Gemara means by the Tanakhama B'shisha Nitna U'B'shiva Ola, it means the following. this is a description of the 6 days following Matan Torah. I can't overemphasize that. So Beshisha and then Beshiva means that following Matan Torah, there were 6 days in which the cloud surrounded Moshe Rabbeinu. And Ubeshiva Allah, after 6 days post Matan Torah, that Moshe was surrounded by the cloud, Moshe is given the command, the voice comes out on the 7th day that he should climb the mountain. He has prepared himself for climbing the mountain. This Tanakama reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. As we said before, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that this entire episode of the Anan and the Prisha of Moshe Rabbeinu took place after Matan Torah. Now, based on this calculation, we'll see very shortly that the Gemara is going to assume that Rabbi Yossi Aglili could only make sense if you hold that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. So the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan after Aseres HaDibros, the following day, the 7th of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu is surrounded by the cloud for the next 6 days. And then he's told to climb the mountain to receive the balance of the Torah. And therefore, if we add 6 days to the 7th of Sivan, because 7th of Sivan is the day after Matan Torah, which means that the Pasuk tells us that after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was given a command on the very next day to be Poresh, and the cloud surrounded him. So you're up to the 7th of Sivan, now you add 6 days, and you're on the 13th of Sivan. So on what calendar date did Moshe Rabbeinu climb the mountain for 40 days? It was on the 13th of Sivan. That's according to the Shita of the Tanakhama, this Braisa, which is reflective of the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that the entire story of the Anan and the Prisha of Moshe Rabbeinu took place immediately after, the day after Matan Torah. Uman di Omar. Now we're up to the second opinion, the dissenting view codified in this Braisa. That's Rabbi Yossi. Again, not to be confused with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Beshiva, on the 7th day of Sivan, the Torah was given. And this opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that on the 7th of Sivan the Torah was given, is Man di Omar Beshiva, Beshiva Nitna, Ubeshiva Ola. So it means that the Anan covered the mountain for 6 days. On the very next day, which was the 7th of Sivan, the Torah was given, Matan Torah, the Aseres HaDibros. And on that very day, Moshe Rabbeinu climbs the mountain where he'll spend 40 days receiving the balance of the Torah with absolutely no Prisha. And now you read the next line, which the Bach took out before, because now it's appropriate to chsiv, Vayikra el Moshe vayom ha-shvi'i, meaning, after the mountain was covered with an anan for 6 days, then on the 7th of Sivan, the voice came out. And again, this voice is addressing not just Moshe Rabbeinu, but all of Klal Yisrael. And that's Biyom HaShvi, on the 7th day of Sivan. That's when the Torah is given. And on that day, Moshe Rabbeinu is called up to the mountain to begin a 40-day period of time up on the mountain. In the light of that machlokas in the Braisa, now we understand the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. And we start with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Agli, Savar Lo, Kitanakama, Di Omar B'Shisha B'Chodesh Nitna Torah. According to the Tanakhama of our Braisa, the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. And again, if we want to understand how the Tanakhama came to that conclusion, we'd have to learn a very long and complicated sugya in Masechta Shabbos in a parak called Rabbi Akiva on Daf Pei Vav in Masechta Shabbos. But whatever it is, there was a logical progression with one assumption after the other that led to the conclusion that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. How does that jive with Rabbi Yossi? Ah, Hilkach. If the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, Zehoya Maisa, Achar Aseres HaDibros, the entire episode of the Anan that was covering for 6 days must have taken place after the Aseres HaDibros. And now we'll interpret the Pesukim. The Pesuk says, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai Vechaseu Anan Sheshes Yomim Lib Moshe. So immediately following Aseres HaDibros, the Anan covered Moshe Rabbeinu for 6 days. And then, Vayikra al Moshe b'yom ha-shvi, on the 7th day, after 6 days of Prisha, in which Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the Anan, the voice of Hashem cried out to Moshe, and specifically and exclusively to Moshe Rabbeinu, Likabule Shara Torah, to climb up the mountain and receive the Torah. So what day in the calendar are we dealing with? The 13th of Sivan. Let's calculate it again. Make sure we're all on the same page. The Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. The very next day, the Anan came and covered Moshe Rabbeinu for a period of 6 days. And then, after 6 days of the Anan, of Prisha, and we're up to the 12th of Sivan, now the very next day, Moshe Rabbeinu was called up by the voice of Hashem B'Yom HaShvi, which means 7 days after Matan Torah, to go up to the mountain for 40 days and receive the balance of the Torah. And now the Gemara tries to explain to us why it's impossible, if I assume that the Torah was given on the 6th day of Sivan, which again, as I keep reminding you, is a sugya Masechta Shabbos, and we're going now, like the Tanakhama of this Braisa, that the Torah was given, in fact, on the 6th day of Sivan, is then we have no choice. We must assume that Ve'echaseu Ha'anan and Vayikra, the voice came out, El Moshe Bayom HaShvi, must be after Matan Torah. Why? Disal K'daitach, if you're going to offer the possibility that Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Meirosh Chodesh Sivan, that this entire episode of the 6 days of Kisui Ha'anan starts with Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and it says Vayichaseu Ha'anan Lahar Sheshes Yomim, so for 6 days the cloud surrounded the mountain. So that means from the 1st of Sivan, Rosh Chodesh, until the 6th of Sivan, the mountain was covered by an Anan. And then Vayikra Moshe Vayom HaShvi, on the following day, Moshe is called Likabuli Aseres HaDivros. That would be Rabbi Akiva's understanding. But that's impossible. Why? Because HaKabuli Alai Mishisha. We're holding now, like the Tanakhama, that the calendar date for Kabbalah HaTorah was in fact the 6th of Sivan. How could it be that the voice would come out on the 7th day, telling the people, summoning them to come for Kabbalah HaTorah for Aseres HaDibros? They had already received the Aseres HaDibros the day before. V'astalik Ha'anan Mishisha, already on the 6th day, the Anan was gone. The people have already received the Torah. How can it possibly be that the voice will come out to summon the people for Kabbalah HaTorah on the following day, on the 7th day of Sivan? Therefore, we have no choice if we accept the opinion of the Tanakhama that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan to assume that this whole episode of 6 days of Kisui Ha'anan followed by the voice of Hashem on the 7th day must have taken place after Har Sinai. And this was the period of time between Matan Torah, Aseres HaDibros, and Moshe going up to the mountain. And during that bridge period between the two, from the 7th of Sivan until the 13th of Sivan, those were 6 days of Prisha, when the Anan covered Moshe Rabbeinu, and on the 13th of Sivan, the voice came out, summoning Moshe to climb the mountain for the next 40 days and receive the balance of the Torah. And this is the basis for Reish Lakish, that we're going to derive the mitzvah of Prishas Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur from Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the very day that the Torah was given, namely on the 7th of Sivan, on the 6th of Sivan, Moshe was told that tomorrow there will be an Anan that will cover him for 6 days, and then the following day, on the 7th day, he is called up to the mountain. So those 6 days in which Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the Anan were 6 days of Prisha, when Moshe Rabbeinu was separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael, from his family. And during those 6 days, he was preparing for the next level of going up to the mountain, which is considered like the Kodesh Kadoshim, and there must be Prisha in preparation for entering into the Kodesh Kadoshim. So now we've identified Rabbi Yossi Aglili with the Tanakhava, this Braisa. The Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, and that was the day of Matan Torah. On the very next day, Moshe Rabbeinu was covered by the Anan, and so begins 6 days of Prisha, culminating in Moshe Rabbeinu climbing the mountain to receive the balance of the Torah, 40 days on the mountain. That is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, together with standing on the shoulders of the Tanakhama. Now Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says that the six-day period of the Anan, of Kisi Anan, took place before Matan Torah. Savalok Rabbi Yossi. Now everything fits into place. The Yom B'Shiva B'Chodesh Nitna Torah L'Yisrael. The Torah was in fact given on the 7th of Sivan. So on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the Pasuk describes Vayichaseu Ha'anan. The Anan covered the mountain for 6 days. And then Vayikra El Moshe B'Yom HaShvi, a meeting on the 7th of Sivan, the voice came out to summon the people to come out to receive the Aseres HaDibros. Now again, the Pasuk says Vayikra El Moshe. But now, according to Rabbi Akiva, on that seventh day, the voice was addressing all of Klal Yisrael. They all had to come out to get the Torah. But Chilka Kavod, Chilka Torah Kavod L'Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara now has a problem. The Mishnah in Masechta Tainis discusses the fast of the 17th of Tammuz. And the Mishnah enumerates five different tragic events that took place on the 17th of Tammuz. And one of them is Shviras Haluchos. That means that in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain. It's 40 days since he's climbed up to the mountain. He comes down, Lech Reid, and he breaks the Luchos. Says the Gemara, Bishlem el Rabbi Akiva, if I accept Rabbi Akiva, who holds that there was no Prisha before Moshe Rabbeinu climbed the mountain, but rather, on that very day, the 7th of Sivan, right after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu was called by the voice of Hashem to climb the mountain for 40 days. Hainu d'mishkachas lo, now it makes sense. D'v'shivasa v'tamas nishtabru aluchos. And the Gemara is going to calculate, how do we get from the 7th of Sivan to the 17th of Tammuz? And it says the following case, that Esrim v'arba disivan, if the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan, then we're left with 24 days till the balance of Sivan, v'shitzar, another 16 days of Tammuz, And again, the numbers here reflect what we call me'es le'es, because when we're calculating the seventh day of Sivan, well, part of that day was dedicated to receiving the Torah, and the other part of the day was when Moshe Rabbeinu was called upon to climb the mount. And 40 days later would have to be me'es le'es. So 40 days later is already the next morning, and that's a full me'es le'es, 24 hours times 40, on that day of the 17th of Tammuz. So that's how we're going to calculate it. We're going to talk about the balance of Sivan from the seventh day until the end of Sivan, which, if we calculate 7 plus 24, we end up with the last day of Chodesh Sivan. And then we add to the 24 the first 16 days of Tammuz. And then we're going to have another half a day to make up for the half a day of the 7th of Sivan. So that's Me'es La'es. And we end up perfectly with 40 days. It's the 40th day after Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, and the calendar date is the 17th of Tammuz. That's the date in which Moshe broke the Luchos. Moluluhu, Arboim Yom, after the completion of 40 days, Bahar in the mountain, Ubishivsar, on the 17th of Tammuz, again, just to make up for that half a day, because he went up to the mountain on the half a day of the 7th of Sivan, is Bishivsar on the 17th of Tammuz, Nochis, the Asa. Moshe comes down from the mountain, Vitavrinu Luluchos, and he breaks the tablets. All that makes sense according to Rabbi Akiva, because the entire parsha of the 6 days of Kisu Ya'anan is Kisu Ya'anan Alahar. And then the voice came out after those 6 days, first 6 days of Sivan, that tomorrow they should be prepared, B'yom HaShvi, to receive the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the 7th of Sivan, following Aseres HaDibros. We calculate 40 days, and we arrive at Shivasa B'Tammuz. Elo l'Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Now, what calendar date did Rabbi Yossi HaGlili have it that Moshe Rabbeinu climbs the mountain? Well, again, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, the entire episode of Kisu Ya'anan, in which Moshe Rabbeinu was surrounded by the cloud, and that's his Prisha, that took place beginning with the 7th of Sivan, meaning the day after Matan Torah. The Matan Torah was on the 6th. On the 7th, Moshe Rabbeinu was completely surrounded for 6 days of Prisha by the Anan, and therefore he only climbs up to the mountain when he gets the Kriya, the calling, on the 7th day, which means on the 13th of Sivan, because we're going to add 7 days to the 6 days at the beginning of Chodesh Sivan. The Torah is given on the 6th day of Sivan. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu is in a state of Prisha for 6 days, starting with the 7th of Sivan. We had 6 to 7, and now we're holding on the 13th of Sivan. And then Moshe Rabbeinu is called up to the mountain for 40 days. Now we're in trouble. The Cheshbon doesn't stim, as we would say. El Rabbi Yossi HaGlili D'Omer Shisha D'Prisha. Arboim D'Har, there were 6 days of Prisha after Matan Torah, followed by 40 days on the mountain. Is then, let's make the calculation. Ad Esri Mutlas B'Tammuz Lo Itbar. If we're going to add an extra 6 days to our calculation, then it's not the 17th of Tammuz when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain and breaks the Luchos. We're going to fast forward by another 6 days to make up for the Prisha days. And 6 plus 17 ends up with 23. It's on the 23rd day of Tammuz that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the 40 days up on the mountain and breaks the Luchos. So how can the Mishnah in Tainis say that the Luchos were broken on the 17th of Tammuz? So the Gemara answers, Amar l'cha Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Arboim D'Har, Bahari Shisha de Prisha. The calculation of the 40 days in which Moshe Rabbeinu was on the Har includes within it the 6 days of Prisha. So it means that the very day after Matan Torah, which is the seventh day of Sivan, because Rabbi Yossi Aglio holds like the Tanakhava that the Torah was given on the sixth of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu's Prisha of 6 days begins on the seventh of Sivan, but those 6 days are included in the calculation of the 40 days. So I have news for you, Rabosai. According to the Shita, Moshe Rabbeinu was only on the mountain for 34 days. Go out there and publicize that. You know, today we like radical revolution. So here's a new revolution for you. How long was Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai to receive the Torah? And the answer is, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, reflecting the Shita of the Tana of Avrais, Tanakama, Moshe Rabbeinu was actually on the mountain for a total of 34 days. And 6 days before those 34 days, he was in a state of Prisha. I hate to use the word quarantine. And he was covered by the mountain, by the cloud. So we're not going to count 6 days and then 40 days. But rather, the kickoff of the 40-day count is going to be on the 7th of Sivan, which is the first of the 6 days of Echaseyu Ha'ana. So that is more or less the sugya of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, except for one point, that according to Rabbi Akiva, if this whole period of 6 days of Echaseyu took place from the beginning of Sivan before Matan Torah, then why does the voice of Hashem address itself to Moshe Rabbeinu on the seventh day to summon Moshe Rabbeinu to receive the Torah, when in fact all of Klal Yisrael? Amar Mar. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa about Rabbi Akiva, Vayikra el Moshe Bayom Hashvi, Moshe v'chol Yisrael owned him. Moshe and the entire assembly of Israel were standing there waiting in anticipation for the voice to come out from heaven and summon them to receive the Torah. And although the Pasuk says Vayikra el Moshe, it really means Vayikra el Kol Yisrael, el Alachlo Kavod leMoshe. Misayele leRabbi Elazar, this is a support to Rabbi Elazar, Deomer Rabbi Elazar, Vayikra el Moshe. And Moshe v'kol Yisrael owned him. The voice of Hashem reigned to the entire people of Israel. The only reason why the Pasuk singles out Moshe is to give cover to Moshe. Meisve, the yeshiva, the B'nai yeshiva asked the following question from a Bryce. Now, the Gemara doesn't quote the entire Pasuk, so I'm going to do that. This pasuk appears in Bamidbar Tes, which is way beyond our parsha, much later than our parsha of Vayikra el Moshe. Vayikra el Moshe is at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Now we're in the parsha of Balosra in Sefer Bamidbar. Ubibo Moshe el Ol Moed, Ledabarito, Vayishmas Hakol, Medabre Lo. So the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the call, and it says, Medaber Elov. So the Brisa says, what's the significance of Medaber Elov? It could have just as easily had said, Medaber Lo. And the answer is, Kol Lo, Kol Elov. Meaning, Kol Lo theoretically could mean that the people of Israel could also hear the voice of God. But the word Elov is coming to emphasize that the people of Israel could not hear the call. Moshe shama v'kol Yisrael lo shamu. That when the call Hashem comes out, Moshe Rabbeinu is capable of hearing the call, but Klal Yisrael are not capable of hearing the call. And therefore, The Gemara has a problem. At Har Sinai, we said Vayikra Moshe, and yet all of Klal Yisrael heard the call. The only reason it mentions Moshe is Lachlo Kol Kovet. Here, in the parsha Vayikra Es HaKol, Vayishma Es HaKol, Vayimedaber Elov, was saying Moshe, Shama V'Kol Yisrael Lo Shamu. So what is it going to be? Is it going to be that when the call comes out to Moshe, Klal Yisrael will also hear the call? Or are we saying no? That the voice is directed at Moshe Rabbeinu, like it says here, Vayishma Sakol Medavre Elov, Elov, Moshe Shamu V'Kol Yisrael Lo Shamu. And the Gemara offers two answers. Lo Kasha. Ha B'Sinai, Ha B'Ol Moed. When it comes to Har Sinai, and the Torah says, Vayishkan Kvod Hashem Al Har Sinai V'Chaseo Onon, and Vayikrel Moshe Mitoch Hanan, the implication is that the voice was heard by all of Klal Yisrael because it's already the seventh day and it's time for them to receive the Torah. Whereas the Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, that's way later on when Moshe is situated in the Ohel Moed, and when he's in the Ohel Moed, he hears the voice of Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Bibo Moshe El Ohel Moed Vayishma Sakol Medaber Elo. So from the point of Hakamas HaMishkan, the Dibur of Hashem is directed to Moshe Rabbeinu exclusively, and the people of Israel don't hear the Kvod Hashem. They don't hear the voice of Hashem. Now, I'm not exactly sure, but I think that perhaps we could give a little bit of an explanation as to what's the difference between Har Sinai and Bibo Moshe El Ohel Moed. In the case of Har Sinai, the voice of Hashem summoning the people to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, the Aseret HaDibros, that's relevant to all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, they could hear it. But the voice to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Ohel Moed, that is a specific dialogue in which Almighty God addresses Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the call comes to Moshe's ears. It's not relevant, and it's not addressing the rest of the balance of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they don't hear the call. Ibai Seima, the Gemara gives another answer. Lo kasha, ha b'kriya, ha b'dibur. In the case of Matan Torah, it says vayikra. That's a lashon of kriya. But ha, in the case of Ohel Moed, it's b'dibur. Because the Pasuk says, Vayishma Sakol Midaber Elov. It doesn't say Vayishma Sakol Kore Elov, but Midaber Elov. The Gemara doesn't give us much of an explanation as to what's the difference between Kriya and Dibur. The Ritva says, Es HaKriya LeMoshe Shamu Bnei Yisrael. And basically the Ritva is just reiterating what it says in the Gemara, that the Kriya was heard by all of Klal Yisrael, was Dibur was not heard on, by Klal Yisrael. So the Marsha has an explanation, and he claims that Dibur means that the Kol Hashem entered into the entranceway of the Ohel Moed, and the Ohel Moed was closed, the gates were closed behind, so that Klal Yisrael cannot have access to the Kol. I would just like to suggest, perhaps, my own take on this. And if you like it, take it. That every voice has two parts to it. There are the sounds, and then there are the words. The sounds are more abstract. You know, just you hear sounds. That's called kriya. Dibur comes from the word davar. Davar means something specific. So it's not just some abstract voice that you hear with a noise, a call, but rather you hear a dibur. Dibur means specific words and sentences. And perhaps this herein lies the difference between Har Sinai and Ol Moed. In the case of Har Sinai, Kriya just means that the voice of Hashem could be heard. There was no specific set of words, but rather it was the voice of Hashem to come out and greet Hashem, and that's where Hashem would deliver the Aseres HaDibros. Dibur, on the other hand, means that Moshe Rabbeinu was given specific mandates as to what should be passed on to Klal Yisrael, and that's where Moshe Rabbeinu had his private rendezvous with Hashem in the Ol Moed, and that's called Dibur. When it comes to Dibur, Klal Yisrael is not capable of hearing. Moshe Rabbeinu on his Madrega is capable of receiving Dibur with a very specific content. The only time that Klal Yisrael received a Dibur was at Har Sinai at the Aseres HaDibros. The Kriya was the same Kriya for Moshe and Klal Yisrael. God is waiting for the people. But the Dibur begins with the Aseres HaDibros. Eila Dvarim is the opening pasuk. And that was the Madrega of Klal Yisrael, in which they reached the level of a Moshe Rabbeinu. According to the Bali Kabbalah, they reached the level of Adam Arishon Kodem Achet. And here they were able to hear the actual content of Hashem's voice, word for word, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, etc. But once Har Sinai was finished and Bnei Yisrael couldn't last even to pass the second Dibur of the Aseres HaDibros, then from then on, they can't hear what Moshe Rabbeinu could hear. So I'm not sure if we have to go to Marsha that says that the Dibur of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Ol Moed was locked up when the gates of the Ol Moed were closed. I don't know if we have to go that far. I don't know if we need that. Even without that, I would say that Klal Yisrael couldn't hear the Dibur because for that you need a special Madrega. I think they say that there are certain animals that can hear things that we human beings can't hear. So I'm just using that as a mashal. And the question is, are we capable of hearing the voice of Hashem? And herein lies the distinction between Kriya and Dibur. Yes, we're capable of Kriya, of hearing Kriya. That's a kol, that's an abstract kol. But Dibur, only Moshe Rabbeinu could hear it. He could pick it up. He has that supervision, hearing, that he can pick up the deep. Rav Zrika Rami Kroy. Rav Zrika found a contradiction in Psukim. And he presented it, Kami to Rabbi Lazar. Amri Lev is another version, Amr Rav Zrika, Rabbi Lazar Rami. Rav Zrika reported that he heard this contradiction raised by Rabbi Elozar. Ksiv. In one pasuk it says, "Vlo yachol Moshe lovel ol moed, ki shochein olav ha'anan." And if you translate that literally, it means that the anan made it impossible for Moshe Rabbeinu to enter into the ol moed. Uksiv. But on the other hand, it says, and this was the pasuk that we were dealing with, "Vayavo Moshe betocha anan." That Moshe actually penetrated through the Anan and Vayal al Ahar, and he climbs the mountain. So how could it be that Velo Yachal Moshe Lavo El Ol Moed, that the Anan prevented Moshe, was the barrier, and yet Vayovo Moshe B'toch Anan? Milamet. The way we have to reconcile this is Shetfoso HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Ve'Viu Be'Anan. That actually Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Har Sinai would not be able to enter into the Anan, but Vayavo Moshe B'toch Anan means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually grabbed him into the Anan. And a slightly different version is the Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Nemar Kan Besoch. It says, Vayavo Moshe Besocha Anon, V'nemar Lahalon, it says in Kriyas Yamsuf, Besoch, Vayavo B'nei Yisrael Besochaya. So we have the word Besoch twice, and we have a kind of a Gzeres Shava. Ma Lahalon, just like in the case of Yamsuf Shvil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a pathway in the Yam itself, allowing Klal Yisrael to travel through this pathway. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, I'll read the whole Pasuk, it says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'toch hayom v'yabasha, v'amayim lahem choma mibinam u'mismolam. So the waters were piled up high on the right and the left, and in the middle there was dry land. That was the Shvil b'toch hayam. Afkan here too, when the Pasuk says, Vayavo Moshe b'toch hanan, Shvil, God created an opening, a highway, so to speak, into the Anan, so that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to enter in. But if not for creating that shvil, then the pasuk says, "Lo yochel Moshe lovel ol moed ki shachen olav Anan." Let's go back to the kriya, and we said that the voice of Hashem, Vayikra el Moshe. Where else do we find Vayikra el Moshe? At the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The opening verse says, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Limor. Now, if you look at this pasuk carefully, both words appear. It says Vayikra and Vayidaber. And in the sequence, Kriya comes before Dibur. So the Gemara asks, Loma Hikdim Kriya LeDibur? Why is it that Hashem calls out to Moshe and then is Dibur? Why is that necessary? Why didn't it just say Vayikra Moshe and Hashem spoke to him? In other words, just tell me what Hashem said to him. Why do you need an extra Vayidaber? This is a moral lesson. Limdecha Torah, Derech Eretz. Shalo Yomar Adam Davar L'Chaver L'Mkein Koreu. You don't start speaking to someone. First you address him. You say to him, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, whatever his name is, I have something to tell you, I have something to share with you. That's Derech Eretz. If you just start talking to a person without first thing addressing him, then that's almost like an insult. I'm not sure if it's an insult to the person who hasn't been called, or maybe it's an insult to the content and the substance of what you want to convey to him. First, tell him that you have something important to share with him. And this supports the famous statement of Rabbi Chanina. First, he should call. What else do we derive from Vayikra el Moshe? The Pasuk says, Vaydaber Hashem Elov Me'ol Moed Lemar. What's the point of the word Lemar? Amar Rabbi Musya Bar Brei de Rabbi Masya Mishmei de Rabbi Musya Rabba Minayin La'omer Dover L'Chavero Shehu Bebal Yomar. If I tell you something and I share something with you, you have to assume that I'm sharing a secret with you. And Megalas Sod, if you reveal that secret, that's an insult. That's called Shehu Bebal Yomar. Bal means you're not allowed to, Yomar to share it with someone else. Ad Sheyomalo Lech Emar, go share this with others. Shenemar, we derive from this pasuk by Daber Hashem Elov, May Oel Moed Lemar. And Rashi explains that Lemar should be read as Lo Amar, as if it had said Lo Amar, don't share it with anyone else, that you shouldn't share these words that you heard from somebody with somebody else unless he tells you specifically. And from the fact that the Torah indicates that you needed a Lemar to give the green light to pass on this news or this information, whatever it is, it means that in the absence of the word Lamar, you would be enjoined from passing it on to others. And this has to do with the concept of privacy. and not everything you hear is meant to be given over to others, you better be very careful that the person who speaks is interested in allowing you. The Chofetz Chaim writes that if you said something to someone in public, in a Rishus HaRabim, then it means you're giving him a carte blanche to share it with others. You don't have to actually say Lamar. But even the Chofetz Chaim says you have to be very careful before you pass it on to make sure it's not pejorative in any way, it's not negative, because otherwise you violate Lashon Hara. And it's so fascinating that all these halachas of Derech Eretz are actually codified in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, and the Magen Avraham quotes our sugya. Now, getting back to the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, we said that Reish Lakish derives the halacha prish of Kohen Gadol from Har Sinai, from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Vayechaseo Anan means that after Matan Torah, the Anan surrounded Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rabbi Yochanan learns it from Shiva Simei Amilu. And we had a Gemara that Reish Lakish attacks Rabbi Yochanan and says, wait a second, are you telling me that we should have an analogy, an equation between Shivas Yimei Miluim and Shivas Yimei HaPrisha of Kohen Gadol? That should lead us to the conclusion that Prisha is critical, and if the Kohen Gadol is not Poresh, then he's not kosher for the Avodah of Yom HaKippur, because in the case of Shivas Yimei Miluim, all the requirements that were given during those 7 days were absolutely critical. And if one of them was left out, then you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of miluim. And it's very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan does not reject the very premise of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan has an explanation to differentiate between Shivas Yimei Miluim and Avodas Yom HaKippurim. But the very premise that anything that was given to Aaron and commanded through Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron during Shivas Yimei Miluim is absolutely critical. So the Gemara says, Michlal, we can derive from this, the Travayu, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, Svir Lehu, they hold, that as far as Shivas Yimei Miluim, Kol HaKosav Bahem Ma'akiv Bahem, whatever the Torah specifies and whatever mandates Aaron is given during the Shivas Yimei Miluim, those are absolutely critical. And in fact, this is a subject of great controversy. The Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Parshas Miluim, is Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina have a machlokas. Chad Omar, according to one opinion, call a kosa ben ma'akiv bahen. Anything that you find in the Parsha, which was mandated to Aaron during the Shivas Yimei Miluim, is ma'akiv, it's absolutely critical. Chad Omar, according to another opinion, Dover ma'akiv l'doros ma'akiv bohem. She'ena ma'akiv l'doros, ena ma'akiv bohem. Only that which is required in karbonos, that are brought by the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, which is critical for all generations, is critical during the Shivas Yimei Miluim. That which for l'doros is just an enhancement of the karbon, but it's not critical, and it's not vital, is the same applies to Shivas Yimei Miluim. So the Gemara answers, Tistayim, if you want to know who holds what, in this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Chanina, I'm going to prove to you, Rabbi Yochanan, who diomar kol hakosav ben ma'akiv bahem, that we should identify that shita of kol hakosav bahem ma'akiv bahem as that of Rabbi Yochanan. How? Mi diomar le Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan imali miluim kol hakosav ben ma'akiv bahem. And Reish Lakish attacks Rabbi Yochanan, and he says that just like in Miluim, everything is Likuva, and the same thing should apply to Prisha of the Kohen Gadol on Erev Yom, on the week before Yom HaKippurim. V'lo kamahadale v'lo midi. And Rabbi Yochanan never rejected the premise of Reish Lakish. He could have just said, what are you talking about? Even in Miluim, it's not Ma'akiv. No. In Miluim, I admit to you, and I concede that it's Ma'akiv, but not in the case of Prisha of Kohen Gadol. For whatever reason that he gives, is Tistayim, and that's going to lead us to the final conclusion that it is Rabbi Yochanan who holds Kol HaKosav Bahem Ma'akiv Bahem, and Rabbi Chanina holds just the opposite. That only Dover HaMa'akiv L'Doros is Ma'akiv, but Dover She'ena Ma'akiv L'Doros is Eina Ma'akiv. And the next Gemara, Mirtz Hashem, which we'll see in a week's time, is my Beinayu. The Gemara wants to know what's the nafgamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. So we're up to Daf Heyom and Aleph, all the way on top. And Amir Sashem, that's where we'll pick it up next week.
So thank you very much, Laila Tov.
Laila Tov, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you so much.
Laila Tov.
Laila Tov.